Bombers lost by a field goal. The Rifles won by a field goal. The Bisons football team won by a score of 42-32. And the Jets got embarrassed in Minnesota by a score of 8-1. This is week 4 of Crossover Sportscast. I'm Sean, that's Jordan. We start right now.
Crossover.
Katy Perry would make a shitty hockey player.
I don't like losing. Nobody likes losing.
Crossover Sportscast.
Can we figure out a way to get them to do our homework from now on?
Sean Perrin.
Yeah, that's the same kind of blow that my mind just experienced. That sounds really bad, hip.
Jordan Hasselbeck.
Nice man thong. I was heartbroken all year long.
Crossover.
Hey man, how you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. How about yourself?
Yeah, you know.
Having one of those days?
It is one of those days, man. It is one of those days. You know those courses sometimes that you have where it's just like, I just want none of you right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm having one of those days, man, with one of those courses. But you know what? It's all good. It's all good. This is a good time of week right now where we get to argue about sports like we do every week.
I feel like we got lots to argue about.
I feel like we do. And you know what? I know exactly what you're talking about. You're going to talk about the botched call in the Bomber game.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a bit. Make sure you guys stick around and wait to see what these two opinionated idiots have to say about the dropped CFL call in the Bomber game. But before that, the Rifles won a really tight, really offensively charged game on Sunday. Game started at noon at Investors Group Field. And because of it, now they're 2-4.
Mm-hmm. Looking to make playoffs?
Looking to make playoffs, yeah. They're going to finish the season off in Edmonton. Two games in a row in Edmonton. The Wildcats and, well, I guess it doesn't really matter who their other team is.
Edmonton
now,
2. Yeah.
Yeah. Edmonton 2. Edmonton 2.0. And according to the coach, and I've got a clip of him coming up. I'll play that in a minute. But according to the coach, if they win both those games, they're in the playoffs for sure. Now, I'm not exactly sure about the technicalities, you know, if they win one and then hope. It's probably one of those scenarios where if they win one, they have to hope for another team to lose.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to look up the stats right now, and I mean, it's probably something I should do, but
yeah,
I don't know that I will.
I've got a few game stats that I want to point out right quick here. Amazing game rushing for the Rifles. In total, their run game was 242 yards. How crazy is that?
That's crazy. I mean, and
right?
Yeah, I mean, how much of that was one guy, Michael Risho?
Michael Risho had a hell of a game, dude. He had 17 touches, 175 yards. Do you know what that averages out to right quick? You're a math guy. Come on. What's that average out to?
I have no idea.
Let me tell you what it averages out to. 10.3 yards. That means every time this dude touches the ball, he's got a first down. Wow. This guy is driving productivity every single time.
I mean, one or two good rushes can skew that number, though, too.
This
right?
Is
he
true.
Breaks an 80-yard rush. You know, he has 8 more rushes, and he's still at 10 yards a rush, right?
Which he did, and it could be a TSN highlight. This guy broke, I think they counted 9 tackles, and I know it sounds ridiculous, and it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but it's not. Like, I seen it with my own eyes, and Darren Bomming was talking about it afterwards in the press box where the final number was either 8 or 9 tackles that he broke. So,
That's awesome.
What does that say?
He can't break tackles, man.
Does that say that the Edmonton Wildcats are just weak at tackling, or does that mean that Risho is like a god on the junior gridiron?
It's a good question. I mean, like... I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see the game. So could you explain how did things go? Like, how was the game flow? Was it...
The game flow was, it was a bit of back and forth. I mean, you've seen the junior football.
I've seen the Rifles play. I've seen all three of their their first three home games.
And it's funny the way that the flow of that league goes so far. It's like, your offense can be a non-factor for like 2 whole quarters. I mean, that's rare. I'm exaggerating right now just to make a point. But then all of a sudden, right, something breaks and you get 70-yard rush and then you score a touchdown and all of a sudden you're back in it, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, the CFL kind of wavers like that a bit too. Like, there's an ebb and flow, but not to as much of a degree as the kids in the CJFL experience. And but wow, I mean, that run by Risho. So here's kind of what happened. And again, I didn't get the best vantage point from the sidelines, but it looked like he went through the middle, and I thought that it was a botched play, so I didn't even bother hitting record on my camera, right? Because it looked like he was gang tackled, and somehow he broke out of it, bounced out. I think he came back over the line of scrimmage, went all the way around to the side, broke another couple of tackles by some DBs, and and then he was gone. I think it was like 60 or 70 yards where and I believe it was a scoring play, and if it wasn't a scoring play, then definitely set up a scoring play.
Oh, I remember seeing him. To me, he's been the highlight all season of the Rifles. He's
easily,
undisputed, number one running back, and yeah, I mean,
would you say he's their MOP of the season? Their MOP?
Their MOP. What's that mean?
Most outstanding player.
Okay, MOP. Yeah, I was gonna say MVP is usually what you go by, right? Most valuable player, but
yeah, the MOP. CFL uses MOP though, don't they?
Well, they want to be different.
They do,
and they are different. Yeah, but not in a good way.
The stinky football reference is coming back.
Yeah. I'll take shots at the CFL all I want right now. I'm rather sour with them, but
and we'll get into that in a minute.
He probably is their best player. I mean, there's not a lot of competition. I mean, like, they got two okay quarterbacks, Rempel and Ibarra, but yeah, it's gotta be him.
They both got different strengths from what I've noticed.
They do. One's more of a running out of the pocket passer, and the other one's a pocket passer.
Yeah. Rempel's really good at running and throwing.
His feet. Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing that he's really good at is play action fakes. Like, he fakes out a lot of people.
Well, he faked me out a whole bunch in my broadcast.
Right.
I was like, oh, Rempel, Rempel hands the ball off. Oh no, he still has it. Or yeah. Rempel, tends to hand the ball off. Oh no, he still got it. It's like, geez, that guy.
And that's the same thing with me. He'll fake me out where I'll kind of follow the running back into the middle there, and I'll see the play die, and I'll actually turn off my camera. But meanwhile, Rempel's running outside the pocket, and he's about to throw a strike.
Well, so he's great.
He is great.
That's his biggest strength, in my opinion. As much as he can roll out of the pocket, he's so good at hiding that ball. He is.
Yep.
He's really good at it.
Yep. So. Do you want to play a quick clip here?
Yeah, go for it.
As I adjust my microphone.
Yeah, you know how much I love that.
Yeah. How'd that game go for you?
Oh, it was awesome. Offense wasn't going as well in the beginning, but we got our blocks going, we made our reads, and everything was clicking, so it was nice.
Looked like you're limping a bit. What happened out there?
I got my ankle rolled up on. There was two instances where I got popped. I got my ribs popped because I had bruised them last week. And then I just got my ankle twisted and rolled up on. But Jamie came in. He had a hell of a game, and kudos to our offense. It was sweet.
How tough is it going to be for your next two games or on the road?
It's going to be tough. We got good opponents. Again, we're facing both Edmonton teams. But our team is resilient, and we're going to come out with these wins and make the playoffs.
Feeling confident about making the playoffs?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's going to be a hell of a ride, and I'm excited for it.
Cool. Thanks, man. Good appreciate run. It. So some definite confidence there from the Rifles QB.
One of those things, you have to have confidence, even if your things are looking down for you.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, half of sports is like the mental side of it, right?
Yeah.
And they were just coming off a really big win. Like I said, they won by a field goal. And this game was really back and forth, eh? Like Edmonton started off with the lead. But they didn't have it for very long. Winnipeg came back real quick, and at the half it was 16-14 Rifles, and then it just went back and forth throughout the second half. It was really exciting, and unfortunately, as Rempel was talking about there, he was limping at the end of the game, limping back to so hopefully he's okay when they go into Edmonton. Do you want to roll into the next clip I got?
Absolutely. Let's hear it. I guess I have one little comment here, too.
Sure, yeah.
Never mind. Not really. I was just going to say, it's important to have confidence. I think that the Rifles, even though they lost their first two home games, or they only lost their first home game, they lost their first home game and their third home game, those games were closer than the scores look.
That's important to note. You're right.
And it's like, sure, they got blown out. Sure, they lost. But, they actually are a competitive team. They're not. They weren't uncompetitive in those games. So I think it's just important to note.
And on that fact, too, the Calgary, was it the Calgary game, the one that was the torrential downpour?
Yeah.
To pull out a win.
They won that, yeah.
Yeah, to pull out a win in weather like that, like as juniors, too, as amateur athletes, that shows a lot for the character of the team. And to just keep on coming back after these devastating losses. And like you said, it's hard. Even though they were in those blowout games, it's hard when the score doesn't really reflect that. And I'm sure you played sports, so you'd probably know better than I would. How hard is it actually to keep your mind focused in a season like that?
It can be hard. You know what? I mean, I had some losing seasons for sure. We had a season, I think, once where I played and we won 2 games all season. It was awful. It was really painful. I was heartbroken all year long. Not all year long. I mean, I guess it took a little while to get there, but it was it's one of those days where we came out, game one and practice, stuff like that. And I'm like, we just don't have a good enough team. We are not going anywhere this year. It's going to be really tough for us. And
do you ever start to get down on your teammates about that?
Yeah. You do. You try not to, but it was I remember the biggest problem we had was we had a goalie that he couldn't stop a puck to save his life. Honestly, the rest of the team was okay, but it was just one of those things where it's like our goalie was so poor that, here's a funny story with this goalie, actually. He needed to wear contacts and glasses, and he didn't.
Oh,
and
no.
He's a friggin' goalie.
Oh, no.
Right? Yeah, it was that kind of thing. And it was like, dude, that was a rough year. And I remember I remember complaining and talking to people and just be like, I think I'm done. I can't handle this. I don't like losing. Nobody likes losing. And it's really tough when it's like, you can put in everything you've got into practice, but if the rest of your team doesn't show any improvement or anything like that. And my team, it was so tough because it was games. I remember games where it was like, we had a lead that was like 7-3 one game. And 5 minutes left, they came back and won the game 8-7. Just like that's how this goalie was. He was just really, really bad.
With 5 minutes left.
Yeah. Actually, it was funny because that year I was one of the better players on the team, humble brag. I was one of the better players on the team, and I was always a forward. I was always a center or a winger. And that year our goaltending was so weak that they're like, hey, you're a good skater. You're going to learn defense because we need to have no shots on net. That's how bad this goalie is. Like, if we have 10 shots on net, we have 7 goals against.
Talk about pressure. Your job now is to make sure no shots.
Yeah.
No shots coming against.
We got 2 wins. So, that was a really tough season. So,
I in high school, I had a buddy who was a goalie.
Yeah.
And he was colorblind.
You don't need to be able to see, color.
Well, I asked him, how are you a goalie if you're colorblind? And he's like, for the most part, white jerseys against a colored jersey, it's fine. I can tell who the teams are. But there was one team in the league who wore, baby blue as their home jersey. Yeah. So when his team was in white and he was playing the other team whose baby blue jersey, he couldn't tell the difference, so he said that it was on more than one occasion he would pass the puck after he covered it, pass it to one of their players, and they would score on him.
Geez. If that's the situation there and he's the goalie,
just pull him for that game.
Well, maybe.
Oh,
or
what were you
gonna say? If you're him, just don't pass the puck out. Like, hold on to it.
Just
get
freeze
a whistle
it
every time.
Yeah.
We actually, it was one thing, too, that year, another year, we had a strategy that was just get the whistle. That's it. Get the whistle, we'll take the face off, and we practice face offs like crazy in practice.
Right.
And it worked well for us. I thought,
That sounds like a much better strategy than Claude Noel's, if we get in trouble, we're going to ice it.
Yeah.
Do you remember
that's a terrible idea. Well, so especially with the way the NHL works in icings, you're penalized by having your players have to stay on the ice. In my level of hockey in junior, younger hockey, they don't do that because it's kind of a health thing, I guess. Players being fatigued and you can't have that, I guess. To me, that was always the reasoning why they did it. They never said that, but to me, that was the reason. If you were tired and the puck was stuck in your end, just ice it. Yeah. Although we were always taught off the glass.
Off the glass?
Ding, yeah. And I don't know that delay a game was ever, I never saw a delay a game penalty.
No way.
Although last year in beer league hockey, there was a funny delay of game penalty. We had this guy on my team, or whatever. He was like, the puck out there has a chip on the puck. He's pissed off. He's like, what the hell, ref? Stop, blow it dead. Get this puck off the ice. Let's get a new puck because it has a chip. And the ref wouldn't blow the whistle. So the guy gets the puck, shoots it directly over the glass, gives him a 2-minute penalty for delay of game. But guess what?
No.
They changed out the puck. I was pissed. I was really mad because really? He called out to the ref. You can't have a puck with a chip on it in game. It bounces like stupid.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him for that. I think it was the refs in the wrong on that one.
Good penalty to take, in my opinion, I'd say.
Well, I don't think you should have got a penalty. That's my opinion.
If you're going to take, I mean, that is kind of a stupid call, right?
It is, right?
Especially after telling the ref that, hey, this is a faulty puck.
We got a bad puck here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's their job is to make sure that it's good.
Another fun puck story in practice one time, we were practicing slap shots or whatever and trying to go off the bar, and one kid on the team, he took a slap shot, went off the bar, and I guess it was so cold, it was -30, that the puck actually split in half.
No.
Yeah. That was great. I know, and that's the crazy thing is like we were 14-year-old kids, and like we were like in awe, like, oh my god, Tyler has the best slap shot on the team by far.
Holy
he didn't
shit.
Have the best slap shot on the team by far. He just like got lucky. The puck was cold. Maybe the puck was chipped too. I don't know. But yeah, no.
That's funny. That's kind of that blew my mind in the same way as watching Shea Weber put the puck right through the net in the Olympics.
Eh?
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah,
too.
That's the same kind of blow that my mind just experienced. Well, that sounds really bad. Hey, it's like I'm doing drugs on the podcast.
You ever see the movie MVP, Most Valuable Primate? It's about a hockey playing monkey.
Don't even tell
it has a six. It has a six slap shot. Anyway, it does that. It shoots the puck through the goal, and somehow this monkey's allowed to play hockey. And then like he scores, but then the ref's like, no, it didn't go in. And then the little girl's like, check the net.
So anyway, bringing it back. We were talking about having a bad team. Well, not necessarily a bad team, but a team with a bad record that gets blown out all the time that's really demoralizing. And in cases like that, I think it falls on the coach. What do you think? The coach, it's the coach's job to kind of bring the players back up, to remotivate them.
You know what? Our coach wasn't even bad about that kind of stuff. He had an ongoing kind of joke that was he was not going to change his underwear until we got a win.
That worked.
Which I don't know if it's a motivational thing or what it was. It was just like lighten our spirits because like he knew that we weren't going anywhere. We weren't making playoffs. Like this is an ugly season.
I think it's a bit of a motivational thing. I mean, nobody wants to smell that.
Well, and then when we won the next game. Team bought him like a nice man thong. So, hey,
that's really good.
Coach Marty, you can change into these, which was good. Really good. And it was funny because it was like that was a real weight lifted off our shoulder when we won our first game, like in the last game of the first half of the season, like before Christmas break, because we always take like 2 weeks off for Christmas, which makes sense because a lot of people go traveling and stuff like that. Makes sense in junior hockey.
Coach Jason Park, after the Rifles win, had this to say. Okay, big win today. Can you take me through it a bit? What happened? What was good out there?
You know, I think they came out strong. They scored on the first drive, and you know what? We just stayed the course. Defense, we made some adjustments on defense. I like the way we started running the ball and kept Edmonton's defense off balance, and we took advantage of that going into third quarter.
They almost came back on you. How'd you guys turn that around?
Yeah, you know, we had some injuries on defense, and they found some holes in us late in the fourth quarter there. And, you know, we didn't do a great job managing the clock, but we were able to pull it out and get a couple turnovers when we needed.
You guys finished the season on the road, right? How tough is that for your team to deal with 3 games straight on the road?
Yeah, the next 2 games are on the road. You know, we're in Edmonton back-to-back against the Huskies and Wildcats, and when we're traveling 40 guys, and, you know, it's tougher, you know. We're flying in same day and flying out. So it's going to be a long day, so we got to get over it if we're going to be a playoff team.
How close are you to the playoffs right now?
If we win the next two, we're in. We're guaranteed. We got the tiebreaker against Calgary, so win next two, we're in.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, so Coach Park talking about making the playoffs, and I think it'll be tough for them. But you know, here's hoping that those boys can pull it off because it's really a great organization. You know, they do a lot. They do a lot to recruit kids. Like on Sunday, they had a few kids in the press box there. They were getting treated to the pizza and the awesome seats. In the north end zone there, or on just beside the north end zone, and they had a couple alumni like Sam Gabor came, and a couple of their coaches came up to talk to these kids and just to talk about like where some players go. And Sam Gabor is a really good example of that because he played for the Rifles. I think it was 2004 to 2008 or something like that, and now he's a lawyer. So he finished his career with the Rifles, went back to the U of M, studied law, and now he's super successful. And so the Rifles really like to show him as what they call a shining example of what being a part of that organization can get you in your life. And doing a lot of stuff to really help promote football in Manitoba.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I love those stories. And that's the beauty of the Rifles is they have all kinds of stories like that, right?
All kinds of them, yeah. So many that we'd spend the entire duration of the show just listing it off. But anyway, Moving right along, what do you want to talk about next, man?
Well, I'm just looking at video clips from MVP, Most Valuable Primate.
Oh, so. Get over it. Nobody cares.
It's adorable.
That's a cheesy-ass movie from like the 80s, isn't
it? It's not. It's early millennium. It says available on video cassette and DVD. So that, how old is it going to be?
And DVD.
I know. That's what I mean. I like the video cassette thing, though. It's not a great movie. Having fun with your mic there.
I'm being prissy here. I'm being a little starlet.
Like, would you like to move on to the Bomber game?
Yeah, real quickly though, I want to just mention the Bisons, and for one reason and one reason only, is because we sent out a question to the Broad Pod. Do you remember that? It was your question last week. You asked if something was sexist, and that question was...
I actually still haven't heard the response, so...
This
is all new to me.
Good. We'll get to hear it, your reaction live. But first, let's just remind our listeners what your question was. Do you remember it?
Oh, so the University of... I think it's Alberta. The men's athletic teams are called the Golden Bears, and the women's teams are the Pandas. And I was like, why would they be different? Is that a sexist thing? I honestly don't know. I don't know the history behind their names. I figured, like, somebody should dig into it. And it should be the women who talk about feminism. Why not? So, give it to the Broad Pod.
So, I isolated that clip. I sent it to them. And it was funny because they got back to me like within the hour, hey?
They probably had it. They were probably drinking at King's Head or something like that.
No, they were here. Oh. They were still working on their show.
Interesting.
And so they sent me this. So let's take a quick listen here.
So we researched it. Where is it? Golden Bears. They became the Golden Bears in 1935.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In 1945. The Pandas came into fruition as the women's mascot and team.
Yes.
And in conclusion?
Because everything was super sexist in the 40s, it was sexist.
Yep.
Boom. Done.
No logic or reason used whatsoever.
We just saw the year and we were like,
it was probably sexist.
Good day, sir.
I really like that response. I think it's funny.
It is funny.
Although, I don't know how
accurate
it is. It's like their response is like, yeah, it's probably sexist because of the time. You know, they kind of have a point, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe not.
I mean, they are right to that effect. There was a lot of sexism going on back in the 40s, but
for sure. I don't know.
Let's be real. It's a podcast about feminism. Everything's going to be sexist to them.
Well... I don't know if that's
okay.
Fair.
Maybe that's not. Maybe that's a little bit. Maybe that's a. I'm still not taking it back.
But
though.
But yeah, fair enough. no, I don't know. I guess I'm no closer to finding out whether it's sexist or not. They think. I like hearing when it's from, and I'm more inclined to believe that's probably sexist. But I'm also totally fine with it not being. I don't really care.
Let me just say this.
I just think
though,
it's dumb that they're different.
Let me just say this though. I'm glad that they did the research. They did the research that we did not want to do.
Yeah, totally. I'm good
for that. However, we're like the philosophers of this argument because we posited the question.
Can we figure out a way to get them to do our homework from now on?
I think we can.
That sounds like a good plan.
I think we can because we're men and we're smarter than them.
Oh, that is horribly sexist.
Do I belong in the 1940s now?
You do.
Call out to the Broad Pod. Actually, you know what?
Do not send that to them. They aren't going to listen to this, and that's a good thing.
I sent them a challenge, actually. I was like,
oh, yeah?
After they sent me the reply, I replied back to them, and I said something to the effect of, you know, come up with something for us to comment on. You know, send a little feminism our way, and we'll break it down.
Have they got back to you yet?
No, not yet. I don't think they want to take my challenge very seriously.
They're not really a sports...
No, I'm not even talking about sports. Like, we sent them sports. You know, they could send us, the latest from Beyonce.
But it has
to tie
into sports in some way.
I'll find a way to tie
like,
it into
Like, they
sports.
Could do, like, you know, Beyonce at the Super Bowl half or something like that.
I'd be down with that, yeah.
I mean, it's old news, but...
Missy Elliott do the thing
like, I don't know,
last
dude.
Year?
I think she was a part of the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, and it's she played Left Shark, an old... Yeah.
I love Left Shark.
Left Shark.
Oh, that's a clip right there. Kay. I love Left Shark.
Yeah. But you know what threw me about Left Shark was everybody... Like, the internet blew up about Left Shark,
Left Shark
right?
was great.
Nobody noticed Right Palm Tree.
Palm Tree was great.
Right Palm Tree was giving her,
but,
like,
you
better.
Know the thing is, Right Palm Tree or whatever, totally overshadowed by Left Shark. There's no question about it. That left shark.
I didn't even see left shark for how awesome even, right palm tree
even
was.
Even the beach balls were amazing.
I don't remember the beach balls.
I'll show you a quick picture. Any of you listening to it, just look up the beach balls from Katy Perry's halftime show.
Oh, like, here's one to send to the Broad Pod, and I know they'll have...
Yeah, we don't need to send this to them. They've already talked about it.
No, not that. Wait.
Talking about Katy Perry?
Yeah.
Katy Perry.
Did they talk about that?
Yeah, that is technically sexist. I don't agree with it.
I think we talked about it on
the
show, too.
We did talk about it, and how we don't think it's sexist, but it's all about how you take it, so...
I argued that it wasn't sexist because Katy Perry would make a shitty hockey player.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree.
So
I don't think it's about her being a girl, although maybe it could be. I'm being willingly ignorant.
Maybe. I'm sure the Broad Pod would say that, but I think the other conclusion that we came to was that it's not very creative for Winnipeg
Ooh,
fans.
You know what I just thought about? What's Phil Kessel's sister's name? I don't remember.
Phyllis? Just kidding.
Phyllis Kessel. No. So you know how she was like a silver medalist with the American Olympic team?
I did not know that.
Well, she was. Like hockey team. I guess I have to specify that because it could be like any other team. Speed skating team. Anyway, so you know how we did Crosby's Better when Ovechkin was in?
Yeah.
What if we did whatever Phil Kessel's sister's name is?
Is Better?
Is Better. Oh, I got to look it up real quickly. We got to start this. This has got to be a thing.
Phil Kessel's sister.
Looking it up.
Could you imagine if a new chant got started right
here
on
Crossover? Her
name
is Amanda Kessel.
Amanda Kessel. It could be Amanda's Better.
Yeah, that's a good. That's good. That's good stuff.
Every time Pittsburgh comes to town.
I love it. I don't see the relation a little. I mean, I guess they're both blonde, blue-eyed.
She is a good-looking woman.
Yeah, she's okay.
I don't know. There's nothing wrong with a good-looking blonde.
But she's Phil Kessel's sister, dude.
So? I have zero respect for Phil Kessel.
I don't have a lot of respect either. Oh, we got a fantasy draft coming up today. I am planning to take Phil Kessel.
I know you are, and I don't understand it.
Phil Kessel, oh, he's going to be money this year.
Okay, you know what? That depends if they're going to... Do you think they're going to put him with Malkin, or do you think they'll
Crosby,
put him with Crosby?
And it doesn't matter. Either one is great. They're putting him with Crosby, and he's going to light the lamp.
If they put him with Crosby, I agree. He'll score more than usual for Kessel. But if they put him with Malkin, I think he'll be a non-factor. So I think any coach would realize that, too, and he'll end up with Crosby.
There's that beach ball I was talking about earlier. I meant to show it to you. I forgot. Hey, a beach ball. Isn't it funny? He's got like one tooth.
I never noticed the
it's
beach
like
ball.
It's like you! Oh! You're the beach ball from Katy Perry's music video. Oh, that's great.
Yes. For the listeners who have never seen my face before, I have a missing tooth in the front, and it's not because I'm a hillbilly. Some have called me redneck in the past, but I'm actually not a redneck. It's just because of stuff and things.
Well, sure, why not?
Yeah.
We'll leave that story for another day,
I guess. Leave that story for another day, yeah.
Because we are on a time crunch. We only have 40 minutes for our draft, and we have to finish earlier than that.
What do you want to talk about now? You want to go into the Bombers?
Let's talk about the Bombers real quickly here.
First, who's our sponsor today?
Oh, you want me to bring up a sponsor?
Yep, let's do that and get it out of the way.
Who did we settle on? I think that we settled on MTS Wireless Services. Real quickly about MTS Wireless Services. Real cheap for students. They got $45 for unlimited data and unlimited text message. For students, I'm a student, obviously. I need unlimited data bad. Like, I use data like it's nothing. So,
and I don't, do you not trust the Wi-Fi here?
The Wi-Fi here is fine. It's my house. My house has such bad internet because I am like a rural citizen that I need my LTE and 3G. Like, I need it. I can't get by without it.
You can't live without your MTS. Unlimited data.
It's true. I can't.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Is that it?
Is that the plug there?
That's all I got to say.
Moving right along. So we've done our corporate plug. Yes. Let's talk Bombers, man. It was a tight game. And I really like the way Nichols looked in the first, second, and fourth quarter.
Yeah, I agree. I think he looked good. I think the Bombers in general looked good. I thought Stoudemire actually had his best game of the season.
Why? Because he had a pick that got called back?
And he got a pick that was not called
back. Right, that's right. He did get a pick.
And actually, his returning yards were decent. He had that one return. He had the return punt that he brought down to about the 20-yard line,
He did probably have his best game of the season.
He was good. Actually, honestly, he wasn't amazing. He was good.
I have a question, and I'm hoping you can actually answer this. What the hell was he doing on defense?
He's a DB.
But I've seen him. They've put him in the tailback's position.
You're thinking of
Veltum. No, I'm thinking of Stoudemire. They've put him as a running back before, and I think they've even plugged him in at slot back at one point.
He's a fast guy. I can see him as slot back.
Yeah.
Oh, slot back? Well, Yeah,
I think they've plugged him in there.
I could definitely see him as a tailback. I mean, he's a fast guy, and if you got hurt guys, like, I mean, Cameron Marshall isn't exactly, like, Stoudemire's faster than Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest problem with Stoudemire is he's got a bit of a ball control issue.
Yeah, that, and he likes to run the wrong way.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Which is super annoying, but...
Yeah, I got a friend who calls him Stoupidmire.
Stoupidmire, that's creative.
With two O's and a P, so Stoupidmire. I like that. I like Stoudemire, okay. He's okay.
I don't like him, but I'll give it to him that he had probably the game of the season
for him.
And talk about Nichols a little bit.
That's a low bar.
It is a low bar.
Nichols is nice. Real good to see Nichols.
He's nice, eh? Do you know him personally? Is he a nice guy?
No, I just mean like he's nice. He's nice. It's nice to see Nichols out there when you compare him to what Brohm was. Yeah. I mean, it's like, again, one of those low bars, but like he looks so much better than Brohm. And speaking of Bomber quarterbacks, today Robert Marvinesi is going to retire.
Yeah. Yeah, big news. Why is that?
He had another surgery on his legs, and he's had two different ACL surgeries, and he's had a couple knee surgeries. He's 26 years old, and his legs just won't do it anymore. He's
so unfortunate, man. Yeah. I really feel like he had...
I like Marv a lot.
Yeah, I think he had potential to have a future.
You know what was interesting, though? I remember earlier this year he was doing interviews with some press guys and saying, like, you know, how he was looking to maybe play as an NFL backup next year or a CFL starter elsewhere. Obviously, that's not the case. Maybe he was just being hopeful or talking positively, but his football career is done. He's got an opportunity in Florida where he's not from Florida, actually. He's from South Carolina, I think. He's got an opportunity in Florida to teach some kids football, I guess, which is real cool.
That's cool that he's going to stay in football. I mean, yeah. I guess what else do you do when you've made it as far as
when
CFL,
you can't do
right?
anymore in a sport, you teach, right?
That's true, yeah.
Totally. And
yeah.
I think sport is the exception maybe to, like, a lot of people say that about, like, you know, I don't know, other fields. Sports is the field where that is the most true. Your body just won't do it anymore, but you still got the mind, right?
Yep.
So.
So, that's... Sad news for Robert Marv, but I don't think it's going to really affect the Bombers too much. The only thing, though, is that now Brohm is the undisputed second string to Nichols until...
Well, the good news about that is that we bumped Brohm down to third string for now.
Yeah. And no, for now he's second string because...
That's what I mean, but I still put Willie as first string and he's just out.
Yeah.
That's all.
Is there any news? Do you know any news on that?
On Willie being out? Oh, yeah. He spoke with the media for the first time today.
I missed it.
And it's 8 weeks since his injury.
Yeah.
He's not practicing yet, so...
Yeah, I think he's done for
this season. Best case scenario, I think we see him come playoff time.
I mean, that was an ugly, ugly injury. Did you see how far back his leg bent the wrong way?
It's really unfortunate. But you know what the good news is? With Nichols under the helm, we actually might make playoffs.
And Nichols did a good job. He was 18 for 28, 234 yards, and two touchdowns, man. That's a, mm-hmm. that's a good game.
Yeah, exactly.
And he looked... More than that, his passes looked confident... Strong and really, really accurate.
Yeah.
He threw into double coverage a couple times and he really threaded the needle. But what really impressed me the most was his early TD pass to, was it Darvin Adams?
Yeah, well that was a lot of it was Darvin Adams. I mean that was a beautiful throw. He threw into double coverage and it was a perfect throw. But Darvin Adams also made a great grab and did a great job getting to the end zone. Darvin Adams is a fine talent.
Yeah.
He is one of the highlights of the season.
That was that was Darvin Adams' 42 yard catch
of a season where we haven't had a lot of highlights. He is definitely a highlight to me.
No, speaking of not a lot of highlights, our run game is pathetic.
Well,
again,
we missed Cotton.
Cameron Marshall with 2.9 average, 29 yards on 10 attempts. Like, what is going on there?
You know what? The fact that we have Marshall is not he's not special. He's he'll get you a couple yards every run, but he will not. The biggest thing about a running back is you need to make the first guy miss, and Marshall doesn't do that.
He plays like he's a fullback though. You know, he wants to.
He does. Well, his body is kind of fullback. He's like small. He's like a small fullback.
Yeah. I agree with that. And it's weird because I think that it feels like there was a real point in the season where he kind of declined. Because at the beginning when they were mixing it up, Cotton and Marshall. I always call him Marshall. Yeah, it's the double L that's thrown me off. But anyway, when they were mixing it up, I was almost convinced that Marshall was the better back.
I think it's fair. You know what the thing is? He's just a change of pace. You got Cotton, who's a little guy that's quick, makes first guy miss. Linebackers have to adjust to him really quickly. Marshall's not that guy. You assume when Marshall's on the field, they're maybe doing a throw. He's a pass blocker. He's like an extra lineman in a way for the quarterback.
Yeah.
Just like that extra little guy to slow up before a sack.
Yeah.
Whereas Cotton's not that guy at all. Cotton is a guy who you're throwing to or you're used to run the ball.
Cotton's a guy who can make the first guy miss.
He definitely can. He definitely
can. In the hole, too. Like, that guy's got crazy, crazy agility.
Cotton's okay. And I actually think that when he got hurt, I thought we had seen the last of Cotton. I don't know that we've seen the last of Cotton now. I think he's going to be back next year. For whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, his wrist looks so bad, though.
Well, that's the thing, though. He's going to have a whole, 10 months to heal. Yeah. So hopefully it doesn't affect his wrist permanently and cause any ball protection issues.
Another problem that I have with the Bombers this season, and I know you're itching to get into that call, yeah, and we'll get into that in a minute, but I have a huge issue with how much Denmark is not getting thrown the ball. Clarence Denmark is one of the top receivers in the league, and again, he had two receptions.
Don't want him in fantasy.
Yeah,
if you play
fantasy
football, don't take Clarence Denmark ever.
Yeah, no kidding.
He had a good season or a good game earlier in the season. Since then,
I think you theorized about that on one of the previous shows that maybe he's getting old. Did you say that?
I don't know if I said that, but that could be a possibility too.
Do you think that's really it? I mean, there's got to be a reason why they're not throwing to him.
See, I think look at a guy like Clarence Denmark versus Darvin Adams. Denmark has good speed and he's good at catching the ball. Darvin Adams has good speed and he's good at catching the ball, and he's also like a good 6 inches taller and has a bigger hands.
Adams is
a better player than Clarence Denmark.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, he's a better player.
I wouldn't go that far. Adams is still young and he still has a lot to learn. Whereas Denmark, he's a reliable veteran who doesn't drop the ball often. And Adams dropped the ball a few times in that game against Calgary.
That's fair. I just think that Adams is the better talent between the two of them.
I think he's the future. I think he's the future.
Oh, he's definitely the future. As long as we can hold on to him.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Bastion with that drop at the end of the game?
Yeah, well, Bastion, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, slamming the Canadian talent.
I mean, the rules in the CFL where you have to play Canadian talent. You look at the Canadian talent in the CFL, in most circumstances, it's of less quality.
John Cornish.
He's an exception. Andrew Harris, an exception.
Yeah. Yeah.
You name me another one. Anthony Coombs.
I was going to say Andrew Harris, too.
Anthony Coombs is another one, actually, too. Yeah. So...
I like Rory Kolert a lot. He's super reliable. Again, another underused Bomber receiver.
No, there's some other guys too. I mean, you talk about Andy Fantuz or Chris Getzlaff. Those are some pretty good guys too. Good guys for Canadians.
Going back a few years, Ben Cahoon.
Yeah, no, there's definitely some good Canadians, but I think that the majority of Canadians are only there, especially in the Bombers lineup, because they have to be.
I mean, a lot of them are linemen too, right? Like a lot of teams draft Canadian linemen just because. I think the mentality there is like just stand there and be a pillar.
Yeah, maybe.
Right.
And there's not a single kicker in the league that isn't Canadian. Because you think about what's that?
Is that true?
Yeah, it's totally true.
Yeah.
Well, because the big thing is, so you need to have a certain amount of people to fill out your lineup. Yep. Who's the least important player in the team? I mean, I wouldn't say it's the kicker, but
it's definitely not the kicker.
I think the biggest difference between the best kicker and the 20th best kicker is like very minute, right? Few yards of kicking distance. And if you're going to pick a Canadian, you're never going to pick an American.
I'd say in the CFL, your least important player is probably your fullback.
Oh, fullbacks are so important. They don't get any credit, dude.
They don't get used very often.
Mm, that's fair.
Look at Pombriant.
And that's why they're also Canadian.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go, right? Yeah. Look at Pombriant. One carry for 8 yards.
But you know what the thing is? You're not looking at fullbacks the right way. As much as fullbacks don't carry the ball very much, they block on almost every running play. They are the meat shield in front of the tailback.
Meat shield, I like that.
They are. They are. They're a meat shield. If you talk to a football player, they'll ask them who the craziest person on the field is, and they'll say a fullback. Because all fullback's job is to do, occasionally carry the ball, occasionally, once a game maybe. Their job is to hit guys as hard as they can.
Right.
And usually the guys they're hitting are linebackers or linemen who are bigger than them.
If you ask any of the Rifles who their craziest player is, they'll no doubt tell you...
Brad Mikkelhoff?
Yeah, Mikkelhoff. Well,
he's a linebacker turned kicker, so that's crazy as it is. Yeah. Also, kickers are, from what I've heard, they are the goalies of the football world, where they're just kind of the weird guy.
The weird guy, yeah. And he definitely falls into that. Did you know he took an unnecessary roughness penalty in that last game?
Really?
Yeah, man.
That's weird for a
kicker. He tackled a dude outside of the field of play and like just dropped him.
That's weird.
Oh, man, it was so funny.
Interesting. Well, you know.
Anyway, back to the Bombers.
All right. Gotta finish this up real quick.
Do you want to get into the call now?
Well, okay, let's talk about the call. Bad call, no questions about that.
Oh yeah,
so bad that the CFL apologized.
I'm glad that they did.
So real quickly, real quick recap. I gotta recap this, and I've said it so many friggin' times. Adams points to the ref and says, "Am I good?" Ref points back and says, "Yep, you're good." And then another ref on the field throws the flag.
Yeah, that shouldn't be happening.
You can't do that.
That shouldn't be happening.
Oh, it's awful. And so on the third, it was a second and one, or was it third and one? It was third and one, I think, and
it was second and inches. Actually.
Second and inches, and so we were just going to do a QB sneak. We got the yards. It was going to be first down.
Yep.
And they made this call, and so now it's third and like, I don't know. It was third and five
third
or something like
five.
That.
And then it pushed it from the 40-yard line to the 45.
Yeah.
And then that's when Liram Hirulahu missed, forcing and that
was the game
right there.
That was the game.
Because at that point it was 25-22. Is that right?
Yeah. And people who say that, well, Calgary was the better team up to that point, yeah, you're kind of right. Their stats are better, but that doesn't change the fact that what if that would not have happened? What if the Bombers had got that first down? What if they had got an extra 5 yards after that and the kick was that much closer? What if? You don't know because the ref blew the call.
I mean, sure, you're not going to get an argument from me that the ref blew the call, and maybe the Bombers would have driven for another touchdown after that and subsequently won the game.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest thing here, where people blame the refs for losses, and I don't buy that at all, is because if you're a good team and you're playing if you're playing a good, solid game, you're not going to put yourself in a position to lose the game because of a botched call like that. And I think there was a lot of opportunities in that game, like the Bastion drop, the couple Adams' drops, where you know, the Bombers just literally dropped the ball and put themselves in a position to lose because of a call like that.
I get what you're saying, but in sports it comes down to one thing. One team has a higher score than the other team, and ideally the referee has nothing to do with that. The referee calls the game as is, and this is not what happened there. The referee had a huge impact on the game and could completely change the outcome.
Yeah. But I mean, I got to stick to my guns on this. Like, if they had played a full game, like look at their rushing yards, man. It's 69 rushing yards.
That's not the point, though.
If they had a run game, it would have been a different story.
So if their stats had been better and this would have happened, what would you be saying if the Bombers' stats were higher?
You mean if they matched and or surpassed Calgary in the stats? Well, then I'd say that there's something else must have broken down and they have a problem scoring.
Well, I mean, that's sure. I get what you're saying, but like, I don't know.
Don't get me wrong, man. I like that call was total bullshit.
It's awful.
And it shouldn't happen.
Well, and there was a missed call earlier too in the play before. Nick Lewis, I think it was, his reception wasn't a reception. You could see in the replay that the ball clearly hits the ground and they didn't review it. Maybe that's a little bit on Mike Schaefer. It looked like a great catch to me as I was at the game.
Initially, I thought it was a good catch,
but you see it the replay, and you're like, okay, that is clearly not a catch.
Yeah, so why isn't O'Shea throwing the challenge flag at that point?
I guess he didn't notice.
No one knows.
And you know what? Calgary throws the hurry-up offense in there, too. They know that it's not a catch, so they hike the ball as soon as they can.
Good point.
And that way you can't challenge it once the ball has been snapped.
Good point.
So
here's another thing that I want to say about this. Calgary scored points in every single quarter. You know which quarter the Bombers didn't score points
in? The third, I know.
The third quarter, man. And they have a huge problem coming out of the gate after halftime being productive. They just don't do it. So and I understand you're mad. All of Winnipeg's mad. The Bombers are pissed. I think Miller was fuming after the game.
I saw Wade Miller just giving it to the ref after the game, and rightfully so.
Yep.
I mean, so this is – we had the lowest attendance that we've had all season long. There were 10,000 empty seats at IGF.
Yep.
Which is awful, which sucks, on a Friday night, and we played a good game against the top team in the league. The fans did not deserve to see that. It's unfortunate. Even if the ref makes the right call and we lose on our own, I'm way better off with that. This is the ref's fault. And I realize the Bombers aren't blameless in this loss. There's definitely have a lot of blame there too, but you should not be blaming the ref for anything. And the fact is the ref fucked up. It's that simple.
Yep.
And he did so in such a way that the CFL, for the first time in years, feels the need to apologize.
And it doesn't make it better, but I think it goes a long way. At least we got that out of them. But it's kind of like salt in the wound,
right?
What
does an apology do? An apology is not worth anything.
It's kind of like salt in the wound.
Yeah,
so
we're not going to get that win, you know, now.
Nope.
And it's like, oh, they'll just throw it under the rug now. It happened.
Yeah.
They say sorry. What do we get out of it? Nothing.
I'm waiting for the year when Winnipeg puts a quality product on the field, and that is what brings fans to the
stands. I think if we stick with the core group here of Walters, O'Shea, and Miller, I honestly do believe that we are going to find that.
I want to see privatized ownership of this team.
You think that'll make a difference?
I think it could, depending on the owner that comes in. I'm sick of this board of directors shit that we've been having for 25 years, or maybe forever. I don't even know when that came in. But let's take the last decade as an example. How many coaches have we had? How many starting quarterbacks have we had? How many GMs and coordinators have we had? They've shuffled the deck countless times. The only thing that remains is the board of directors, the fact that they are the governing body here.
Well, they fired their old CEO, right, and replaced them with Wade Miller.
That's still front office, though. I'm talking about the upper deck. I mean, like you said, the brass has all been changed out. Like, I think the thing that remains is the board of directors. Mm-hmm. You know, if you drop everything else and the same problem persists, you got to look at what the consistencies are.
Yeah, I don't say, dude. Got nothing to say.
Yep.
Anyway, real quickly, we got to wrap this up because we are really running out of time here. Yeah, we got to talk about Jets.
We're getting close.
Real quickly, they play the Eskimos in a matinee on Saturday at 3:00. I'll be there.
Are we talking Jets?
Talking Bombers right now. Okay. Real quickly, Bombers play Edmonton at home, 3:00.
Bombers play Edmonton in Winnipeg?
Yeah, in Winnipeg.
Nice.
The 9-4 Eskimos play the 4-9 Bombers. Man, 4-3, I wish.
Edmonton's got such a good team right now.
We'll see how this goes. But you know what? Hey, we played really well against the Stamps.
We did. Yes, we did.
So I have hope.
And Nichols is learning the playbook, and he's better. He was better this week than he was last.
Second last home game of the season. Show up. And the last one, the weather could be nice.
Yeah, really, buy your tickets, folks. Let's get out there. And, you know, playoffs probably won't happen, but there is still a mathematical chance.
There's still a chance.
So, yeah.
And so real quick, let's talk about the Jets now, because we are really running out of time here, and I want to get this done in like 9 minutes.
Yep.
So, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the loss to the Wild. What was it, 8-1?
The 8-1 loss. The embarrassment.
Not so embarrassing. And I'll explain why.
Go ahead.
You look at the lineups they had out there. The Wild had guys like, they had Koivu, Charlie Coyle, Matt Dumba, Pominville, Vanek. I'm missing, who else is their big four? Parise. And they had Backstrom and Nett. They had the Minnesota Wild out there. The team that you're going to see on day one when they drop the puck at XL.
So they started all their starters.
They did. And who is the biggest name on the Jets roster that game?
Well, Wheeler was playing.
Wheeler wasn't playing.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, 100% sure. I checked the lineup.
Okay.
Scheifele was the biggest player in that lineup.
Scheifele was.
Yeah. So what did we find
Trouba
out?
Playing?
Trouba was playing, I think.
I know they were
so Trouba and Scheifele. Well, pick your poison. Which one do you want better?
And in net, it was Hutchinson, and then he eventually got replaced by Hellebuck, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Still, Hutchinson should have played better, but whatever.
Well,
you look at the defensive core that was in front of him, too. There was no Stewart, Enstrom, Bufflin. Who else am I missing in there? Who are top six defense?
Well, Harrison.
Trouba was out there.
Sherratt.
Sherratt was out there, yeah. Sherratt was out there. True was out there. Harrison was out there. Party, I think, was out there, too.
Yeah, I remember seeing Party. So, no Buff?
No Buff.
No Enstrom. No Stewart.
No Stewart.
Okay. So, basically, what you're getting at here is that this was a minor league team versus an
NHL. It was the Manitoba Moose versus the Minnesota Wild.
Okay.
8-1, just preseason. This means absolutely nothing.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, it's complete crap. And anybody who says otherwise is dumb. And I stand by that.
You heard it here on Crossover Sportscast.
Do you feel differently? Because if you do, you're dumb.
Me? No. No, I don't really feel differently. After hearing that, and I'm obviously just going to assume that your facts are factually correct about that. Yeah. So
100%.
Yeah. I mean, and folks, let's get over it here.
It's preseason.
This is when this shit needs to happen.
Yeah, there's a reason all those young players were out there, because they want to see who's left. They made a bunch of cuts too.
They did, and I wanted to talk about that real quick here.
Yeah.
Cormier, Fraser, Halaschuk, and that surprised me. Halaschuk spent a lot of time in the bigs last season and the season before.
Waivers.
Yeah. Melchiori. Yeah. They all need to clear waivers, but they're going down.
No, not all of them.
That's what it says here. They must all clear waivers. Yeah, all those guys need to clear waivers.
I didn't think they were all eligible for waivers.
And then Nogier and Brendan Lemieux.
He has not clear waivers because he's going back to the...
They're going back to the juniors, these two guys. I was actually surprised about this guy.
I'm not. The kind of style he plays, the game he plays, is very rough and tumble.
Yeah.
And a young guy like him, age and time is his best friend. giving him an extra year because he could get hurt, right? You don't want to see him take on somebody that's a bit too big. You know, his eyes might be bigger than his stomach.
Maybe.
And so maybe let his stomach grow a little bit, right?
I just want to see just how old he is.
He's 18.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah, he's 18.
Born in 1996, so he's 19 right now.
19?
Yeah, March 15, 96.
So he's 19.
Yeah, he's 19.
He's eligible until he's 20. Okay, so he's 19.
He's still a bit young to be playing that kind of game,
right? The fact is you got time, give him time. He's not Nick Ehlers, who is, you know, his game is skill. His game isn't necessarily skill. His game is rough and tumble. It's that beat-em-up guy like his father. And I think that an extra year will do him wonders. He can grow into his body a little bit more, too.
Speaking of Ehlers, he didn't make the team yet, but he's one step closer.
He's making the team, dude.
He's remaining so there's Ehlers, Kopp, Patan, Lipan, Rifle.
It's Lipan,
Raffle,
by the way.
Raffle, sorry. Yeah. And Hellebuck. They're the ones that remain. And honestly, I don't know why they're keeping Hellebuck up here right now. Maybe it's just to have a little bit more preseason experience.
I think
maybe they might be planning for something down the road with him.
But we know he's going back to the Moose.
He's going to the Moose, yeah, and he's going to make one hell of a minor league goaltender.
He's ranked as the
year.
Number one goalie prospect in the NHL, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he played in the World Championship for Team USA.
So that includes players, the goaltending prospects. You're not included if you are considered an NHL starter or backup. You have to be playing in the AHL or some other league. He's considered the number one prospect for goaltending.
Cool.
So that's interesting, right?
Lots of stuff to watch going forward. Patan and Ehlers, especially.
I think Patan gets cut. Too young, too small. Doesn't really play like his body.
Hey,
I think he's gone.
We'll see, man. I thought he was gonna make. I thought he wasn't gonna make the first round of cuts. To be perfectly honest,
I'm surprised
honest with you.
Too. Well,
yeah. So I mean, we'll see. He might just make the team.
Who else you got on that list?
That's it. That's the list.
No, I know, but like I'm saying, like,
Ehlers, Kopp, Patan, Lipan.
Kopp makes it. I think.
You think so?
I think so, yeah. Or at least he's going to be in the Moose for sure. I think he makes it, though.
It'll
I think
be
they
interesting
like Kopp.
To watch.
I think they like Kopp, and I think they like him as a fourth-line center.
Season starts when? Next week? Early next week? On October 6th, I think the season starts,
yes.
Right?
Starts on October 6th.
We'll go with that.
October 6th.
We'll go with that. Yeah, I think that's
love this works. Raffle kid.
Yeah.
And I say kid, he's 29 years old. and he's
it's
been
my
playing
age,
in the Swiss League. Oh, and another fun tip, too. Jim Slater today announced that he signed with a team in the Swiss Elite League. So
interesting.
Happy that Jim Slater found himself a job in pro hockey.
Yep.
Seems like he's, and that's one of the better pro leagues. I'd rather him be in the Swiss League than the KHL.
Good face-off guy right there.
So yeah, I like Jim Slater personally.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how great of a hockey player he is, but I'm glad to see he's continuing to play hockey.
Anyway, we're out of time here.
Yeah, for sure.
Tune in next week. As always, watch for us on iTunes and my blog, Sean's Jetstream, which is sperrin.wordpress.com. That's where we'll be.
All right. Awesome.
Later, man.
Oh, peace out.